It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Welcome in. Hour number two and the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. Navi has stepped aside, but still to come in this hour. Oh, by the way, Navi will actually be with us for the final half hour, and I thought it would just be fun. He's been in search of some boots since he got his knees redone and recently had a second procedure on the first knee replacement that he had. He's had them both replaced. It has changed the alignment of his feet, and I hear this story all the time from fishermen, from hikers who have had knee replacements, from skiers, certainly. But if you're a physical person and always have been, things start to break down when you get to our stage of life, and you still want to be able to do maybe not the same speed, maybe not the same part of the mountain, maybe whatever. You still want to get out and have those activities to keep yourself healthy and happy, but you might have to find a different way to do it. Navi finds himself now with a situation where he needs a different fit for his ski boots because his knees obviously have changed, and so his body alignment is different. And I just thought it would be instructional for all of us, really, to tag along on his search for boots this past week. And so we're going to do that as we head up to Park City in the last half hour of this show. So look forward to that. Before we get there, we'll go road tripping with Bob and Mark. And we're going to talk about being active in the outdoors. Maybe that's one of your resolutions for the new year. But right now, I want to jump right into this conversation. Rusty Robinson, and this is one of my favorite, by the way, titles of all of them at the Division of Wildlife Resources.
Yeah.
Rusty, when you get to tell people, I'm a once-in-a-lifetime coordinator.
That's all people can take of me.
That looks good on a card, on a business card, though, isn't it? Tell everybody what that means exactly.
Yeah, so I oversee the programs for the four once-in-a-lifetime species. So bighorn sheep, mountain goats, bison, and moose. And those are the species that you can hunt just once in your lifetime in Utah.
For our purposes today, we're going to concentrate on the bighorn sheep side of this. And before we talk about this transfer that just took place last month, take me back to, 2022, I think, and I remember us telling this story not just on the outdoor show, but I think we also talked about it during our Utah's Morning News of this nursery facility that was going to be put together out in Duchesne County.
What it was is, you know, we had this kind of harebrained idea that, you know, we could put bighorn sheep in a fenced facility and keep them protected from disease. They're really susceptible to respiratory disease that they can get from domestic sheep and goats. And they're so closely related that they're kind of attracted to each other. And if, you know, there's domestic sheep or goats around, the bighorns will find them and they can contract these pathogens from them. And so we wanted to keep them safe in a facility. And there were bighorn sheep available to us in Nevada, and we needed a place to put them. And, you know, Young Living and Skyrider Wilderness Ranch over by Tabiona really stepped up when we were in a bind and were phenomenal partners. And they said, hey, listen, here's this property, high fence, you can put them in, keep them safe. And they were such great partners to work with. The property wasn't perfect. It was what we needed at the time, but you know, there's a lot of predators in that area and things like that. And then, you know, we partnered with SFW and Wild Sheep Foundation on this new property on Promontory, that we thought would just be a little step up for them, where they didn't have to worry about the predator so much and things like that. And so we moved them over, just gave them a little bit of an upgrade. But we're really grateful for all those partners, Young Living, as well as SFW and Wild Sheep Foundation.
I remember when this story broke, and I think some people unnecessarily got their hackles up a little bit simply because they heard that this was going to be a fenced-off area, and it sounded a lot like we were going to restrict movement of these animals, when in fact it was done to protect them and grow the species. And when you think about it, nature here in Utah kind of provided a model with Antelope Island and the buffalo out there.
Correct. Yeah. Similar idea. You know, have an area where they can, you know, not wander so much that they get into trouble and get sick. So yeah, it, you know, And sheep are funny. They'll find their little favorite spots and they'll sit there, you know. But then at times they can really wander and get themselves in a mess. And so, yeah, the fence is kind of a necessary evil there.
Yeah. All right. So the original nursery area was out in Duchesne County, out around Tabiona. Then this new one comes along near Promontory Point, and you've made the transfer, it sounds like, of those animals from that Duchesne County location to the new one.
Correct. Yeah, with a lot of help from volunteers and our own folks, we were able to drop net all the sheep in one day and move them over and release them out of the trailer. That was on Friday, December 22nd, right before Christmas, and that was a great Christmas present for those sheep to get them out there and give them a new home.
What's that process like? I mean, the nuts and bolts of it.
The nuts and bolts of it is we have a big giant net that we suspend in the air horizontally, and then you have usually hay or something that the animals are attracted to. And once they get used to that and are coming in on a regular pattern, when they're under the net, we can hit a button and actually drop the net on top of them. And then we run in there and you know, restrain them so they don't hurt themselves and put them in a trailer. It's actually pretty slick. So,
you know, when I think about wildlife sightings, and we know that wildlife viewing is one of the most popular outdoor activities because it's easy to do and you kind of pick the species you want to go out and go after. We call it CPR. You can catch, photograph, and release or yep. Something like that. Bighorn sheep is one of those that you'll always remember where you saw the first one, I think, particularly if it's a fairly close encounter.
Yeah, they're a real, you know, charismatic kind of iconic species in the West that people are really attracted to. They're just kind of, they're just neat. They're different than everything else. And you don't see them all that often. And so when people do, it's just kind of a cool experience.
And that's really what this is all about, is to grow the opportunity for more people to see them. What is our population these days in the state of Utah?
We currently have about 3,000 desert bighorn sheep, and we have about 1,500 Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep. And we compare that to, you know, 300 or 350,000 mule deer. Obviously, there's a lot less of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, this whole nursery idea is for the future. That's really what it's for, is to have a place where we can keep these sheep protected from disease. We can then, you know, take from that source herd, augment existing populations, or reintroduce them to native habitat and really grow the species. And it's for the future.
Yeah, and that was one of my next questions. When you finally get to the point of moving them out of the promontory site, will they go to areas that are already populated, or are there some dream spots in Utah that you want to introduce an entirely new herd?
Yeah, there's always, you know, places that we can put them, you know, as long as they're within a safe distance from disease issues. But yeah, they could do either. They could be used to augment existing populations or to start new ones, or, you know, restart new ones that have since been extirpated from a historical range. So the options are, there's a lot of options there. And, you know, as this population grows, we'll be able to think through those and get them to these areas and help out.
It's always great to recognize organizations like the Sportsman for Fish and Wildlife and the Utah Wild Sheep Foundation for what they do. But, boy, it's tough to not overlook, and you did mention it briefly, the Richmond family who decided to open up their family ranch for all of this.
Yeah, they, you know, they really saw the vision of this. They've been great to work with. They were there at the release and got to open the trailer, and that was just kind of a tender moment, I think, for everybody. And as well as the Peterson Family Trust and Gary Sorensen, some private donors that helped to get the fence built around out there. And, you know, there's just so many people that are passionate about wildlife in this state and are willing to put their money where their mouth is and really are truly altruistic. They just want to help wherever they can.
Yeah. Well, Rusty, you really are a once-in-a-lifetime coordinator. we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes of your time with us today, and thanks for the work you do every day.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll do our little road tripping segment. So stand by. Bob and Mark are waiting in the wings, and we'll find out where we're going to go this week. That's next on KSL Outdoors Radio.